Good morning, friends. It is Monday, the 22nd of December in the year of our Lord, 2025. I'm Anna Grace Legband, and this is your wake up call. Wake up, sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you, and I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. We're praying this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text today is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Hear now the word of the Lord. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all that I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. And it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now consider this. How do you define success? In the world's eyes, success is often measured by a combination of accomplishments, recognition, material wealth, physical appearance, and status. Even in Christian circles, success might be defined by doing the right things, by serving faithfully, achieving great things for God, or even mastering spiritual disciplines. The kingdom of God presents a different measure of success: love. This shifts the focus entirely. A life with few accolades, little recognition, or nothing impressive to list on a resume can carry immeasurable value if it's marked by love. The kingdom's value system flips the question from "What did you do today?" to "How did you go about your day? Was it in love?" In God's eyes, how we do things matters much more than what we do. The manner in which we carry out the work matters more than the work itself. Words, gifts, faith, good deeds, even the most self-sacrificial actions have no real value if they're not done in love. These words contain a sobering reality that serves as a warning. It is possible to express spiritual gifts, to have great faith, to practice generosity, and to do all of the Christian stuff, and yet still fail to love. Someone might preach a powerful sermon or be part of a thriving ministry or give generously to those in need, but if their actions are not rooted in love, Paul says that they amount to nothing. This warning is especially poignant in light of the many recent failures that we've seen in church leadership. Many gifted leaders have fallen, not because they lacked gifts, calling, or talent, but because their character and their lives were not grounded in love. Love is not just the ideal, but the indicator of spiritual health and maturity in the kingdom of God. Giftedness is not the same as spiritual maturity. We need to recover a kingdom value for maturity in love over giftedness and spiritual charisma. How do we know if we have love? How can we recognize love in us and in others? Well, Paul provides a few sentences that serve as a thermometer for our love in everyday life. Let's read these words together. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. Contrary to its popular use, this passage was not written to be read or taught from exclusively at wedding ceremonies. These words go far beyond a romantic context. They apply to our friendships, to our interactions with our coworkers, to our treatment of family members, and even our encounters with strangers. Reading these words invites us to ask, does my love look like this? Am I patient and kind? Do I avoid envy, boasting, and pride? Do I dishonor others, seek my own interests, or hold grudges? If we answer these questions honestly, we realize that although love never fails, we fail to love often. Now, failing to love isn't always super dramatic. It shows up in the small, ordinary moments of life. It's the impatient response that we have to an interruption. It's the self-righteous attitude that we carry into disagreements, or the lack of kindness towards someone that we show who cannot repay us. The standard can feel impossibly high. Who among us can live this out perfectly? Even if we just look at the first line, love is patient, that is enough to convict most of us who are listening today. Our failures to love can actually draw us deeper into the love of God. These attributes are not simply ideals that we aspire to, but are a reflection of God's own love for us. In other words, we aren't giving what we have not received. While we may fail in the moment, we are being transformed into people who reflect the love of Christ more fully. Our failures to love are not the end of the story. They're opportunities to turn back to God, to His love, and to let it overflow into our relationships. The kind of love that Paul describes doesn't come to us naturally. We don't wake up thinking, man, I really feel like being patient and humble today. Love is a daily intentional choice. It's a decision to act in ways that reflect God's love, even when we don't feel like doing it. One of the most encouraging promises in the New Testament can be found in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 13. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. Now, this means that the desire to love well itself is evident that the Spirit is already at work in us. Through the Holy Spirit, we are given not only the gifts that we need to serve others, but also the capacity and the power to love, the very thing that allows us to carry those gifts well. The language that Paul uses at the end of the passage suggests that we can grow in love. As we mature in faith, we are invited to leave behind childish ways of thinking and to step into a deeper understanding and demonstration of love. In many ways, the Christian life is described as a journey of love, of receiving it, of being transformed by it, and of sharing it with the world. This is not a path that we walk alone. The Spirit is at work within us, shaping us day by day into people who reflect God's love more fully. And we live in the hope that one day we will see Him face to face, the one whose love never fails, who loves perfectly and without end. Here's some response prompts. Are there areas in your life where you're doing the Christian stuff, but you're doing it without love? 2, in a world that often values success, status, and performance, how can you more deeply embrace the kingdom perspective that love is the greatest measure of success? Let's pray together. Jesus, we come before you and thank you that you love us in the way that Paul describes love. You're patient and you're kind. You keep no record of wrongs. You're humble. And Lord, just ask that we would be people who are marked by that love. That love would not just be something that we receive. We want to receive it, but that it would transform us and that it would be demonstrated through us to the world. Lord, thank you that you work within us, giving us the desire and the power to do what pleases you. And so thank you that loving well and living lives that are marked by love is not something that we have to do on our own strength. And so we just ask and receive the power of your Spirit to love in the way in which you call us to. We thank you that you make it possible. And we ask this in your name. Amen. I'll invite Dan to lead us in a time of singing and look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Thanks so much, Anna Grace. Today we're going to worship with the carol, O Come All Ye Faithful. It's hymn number 174 in our great Redeemer's Praise. Let's worship together.
O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye, O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold Him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exultation. O sing, all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God, oh, glory in the highest. O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. Christ the Lord. And yea, Lord, we greet Thee, born this happy morning, O Jesus, to Thee be all glory give. And word of the Father, now in flesh appearing, O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him. Come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord.
Man, we adore You, Lord. Blessings today, and we'll see You on the field.